Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you'll learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secure retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Joe McCall. Hi, Joe.
Mike, how are you, my man?
I'm great, and how are you?
I'm doing really, really good. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming. Joe is a famous wholesaler. He's also a famous podcaster. He's a very, very successful business and real estate coach, and he's the brother from the Collective Genius Mastermind. This is how we know each other.
Been in the group a long time, Mike. How long have you been in it?
I've been there for a long time. I want to say from 2013. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I was going to say for me, 2012, 2013 as well. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been veterans. The group has certainly grown. Tell us a little bit about Joe. Who is Joe?
Well, I live in St. Louis, Missouri, and I know you're from Russia, and I'd love to go there someday. The closest I've been to Russia was Prague. I've lived there. Actually, I've been there four times. Once I was there for 6 months while I was in college, and then twice we were there for 2 to 3 months at a time doing deals from Prague in the U.S. We were there for a week another time. But I love traveling. I love doing deals virtually while traveling. So we also spent 3 months traveling around the northwestern corner of the U.S. in an RV, doing deals really from the RV. One of the things I'm really passionate about teaching and helping people do is creating systems, automation, delegation, and doing deals virtually while traveling around the world, or just even if it's sitting in their backyard or working from their office at Starbucks. Like it's just, this business is really not that difficult, not that hard to automate. And if I could help a little bit, people do that so they can spend more time with their family, more time at home, more time traveling the world, then yeah, that's cool. I get a really, really high out of that.
That sounds great. So you teach them how to build business around their lifestyle rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and you've heard this before. We've talked a lot about it at the Mastermind. And I heard Life in Air and Sean McCloskey and Steve Cook talk about this early on, and this is what kind of got me focused on this whole thing. The idea of creating a vision for your life first and then building a business around that. So many of us have it backwards. We have our business, our job is kind of the center of our life, and then life just kind of fits in around that, right? So everything that we focus on is business or work-related. Well, what if we change that? What if our life was the center of what our vision for our life and what we wanted to do, whether it's traveling, whether it's just working from, I mean, the pool in the backyard, or if it was traveling around the world or doing missions work or whatever, like you could do that and then have a business that supports that lifestyle and that vision. It's so easy. It's easier now to do that than it's ever been in history. And especially with real estate, we can set up systems. I call it the three keys to success: marketing, automation, and delegation. And if you can figure those three things out and really start focusing on that and implementing that, you can have a lot of success in your business and you can do deals virtually.
So let me elaborate a little bit more on that, because you're a huge success of that. You're definitely a great marketer and you automate relentlessly. Let's talk a little bit about, as part of your coaching, is that what you're focused on, how to help people establish wholesaling businesses with high degree of automation and delegation? Is that sort of your number one niche?
I got started doing lease options, what I call wholesaling lease options, where you flip lease option assignments. Those deals I find are really, really easy to do. But I also help, I've done a lot of automated wholesaling, I call it, where instead of virtual wholesaling, in my opinion, the way I look at it means like you still have to talk to sellers, you still have to talk to buyers. But I created something called automated wholesaling, which teaches people how to automate their wholesaling business and do it from anywhere in the world, like I just talked about. So that's stuff that I really, really am passionate about in teaching. And when it comes to systems and tools and tricks and virtual assistants, I've been using that stuff for a long, long time. And I'm always keeping my ears to the ground, you know, listening to what other investors are doing and finding the latest tips and tricks and finding ways to automate the business and then sharing that with people. That's why I love doing the podcast and why I love coaching, is because I get to make this huge difference in people's lives. And to hear the stories that I've heard, it's been so amazing. I get more joy and excitement out of helping somebody else do a deal than I do actually doing deals in my own business. So I get so much more out of that.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on flipping lease options? So what is a lease option? Are you talking about a commercial property? You get a lease on something, a master lease, and then you selling it? Or what are we talking about here?
From what I understand, the whole concept of lease options kind of came from the commercial side of the business. But it's, you can do this, you can do it for homes, and people have been doing it for homes for a long, long time. It kind of became popular in the 80s and 90s, but it's where you put a lease on a property with an option to buy it in the future. It's called a lease option.
Yeah.
And it's a way to control a property without owning it. I think it was Rockefeller said, the secret to wealth is own nothing and control everything.
Right.
And so that's the concept behind lease options. I'm not taking ownership. I'm not taking the deed. I just have a contract to lease it as a master tenant for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, with the right to sublease it out to somebody else. But I also have an option to buy it. And usually it's at a discount. Like if a house is worth, just using round numbers, $200,000, I have a contract to buy it for maybe $170,000. If it's worth $200,000 today, I have a contract, an option to buy it for $170,000 or $180,000. But I'm going to sell it for maybe $220,000 in 3 to 5 years from now. And so then I'll make monthly cash flow during that time that I'm leasing it out to a tenant buyer. And then when I sell it at the back end, I'll make a big spread. Now, there's different types of lease options. You specifically asked about flipping lease options or assigning lease options. Like, if you look at a regular wholesaling deal, you get a property under contract to buy it at a significant discount, right? Well, you can assign or sell that contract to another investor, a cash buyer, a rehabber, a landlord. You can sell or assign that contract for a fee, usually $5,000 to $10,000, right? Well, when you wholesale lease options, instead of flipping that contract to a cash buyer investor, you're flipping that contract to a tenant buyer who's going to live in the home. So it's just a different way to do it. Now, there's the reason I like it and I find it so much easier is because there are a lot more sellers out there that are motivated sellers that have little to no equity than motivated sellers who have a lot of equity. And all the other wholesalers out there, there's tons of people doing a bunch of marketing right now. They're all targeting the very motivated sellers that have a ton of equity. So I got frustrated. I was throwing away so many leads, sellers that didn't have any equity, because there's nothing I could do for them. And I loved the concept of lease options. So I started just, instead of making cash offers, I started making lease option offers. And then I started just, instead of selling that contract to an investor buyer, I started selling it to tenant buyers. And when I started doing that in 2009, within about 3 months, my part-time income flipping lease options surpassed my full-time income at my job. And I was a civil engineer. I was working for a large electrical contractor building big power plants, traveling quite a bit and getting frustrated with my job. So I was making more money doing that than I was in my full-time job. And I was making about 75, 80 grand a year, which is pretty good. I was about 8 or 9 years out of college. But, you know, I looked at the corporate ladder and I thought, you know what, the chances of me getting to the very top are slim to none. So if anything, I'm just going to be a middle level manager for the rest of my career. And I would look at what my middle managers were doing, how hard they were working. They were always the first ones in the office, the last ones to leave. They had the most stress and they got paid better than I did. But if you look at the hourly wage that they got, it wasn't much better than what I was getting. Plus the pressure and the stress that they had, it was ridiculous. So I said, I don't want to be a middle-level manager. That's crazy. So that's when I started getting passionate about real estate and started looking at different ways. And I tried all kinds of different strategies. And I just kind of locked into flipping lease options. And shortly after I quit my job, a couple years later, I created my podcast and started selling my courses and coaching people on lease options.
It seems like it's a good opportunity now. The days of the short sales are mostly gone. People have some equity. They may not have a huge positive equity. So these folks, if they want to sell, they got to pay closing costs. that's going to wipe out most of that cash. So if you come to them with a lease option, it gives them some cash flow right away.
Yeah,
yeah, I like it. I mean, it's a pretty good niche.
There are a ton of landlords out there today, and there's more landlords today than ever. Investors that own rental properties, and as you know, it's not as rosy and easy as everybody thinks. You know, there's a lot of investors out there that bought some book, they went to some seminar and workshop, and they got sold on how easy it is to get quote unquote passive income, right? So they went out and they bought 5-10 properties, and it wasn't as easy as they thought it would be. Property managers weren't as good as they thought they would be. The tenants, you know, they have frustrating tenants. And so I do a lot of lease option deals with landlords. That's my point I'm trying to say. A lot of these landlords will buy these rental properties and get sick of them. And they may not want to sell them because they'll take a loss. They're tired of dealing with tenant landlord headaches. And so they're very interested in doing a lease option with me because I can put a tenant buyer in the home that's going to take care of the day-to-day maintenance and repairs. Because they put a larger down payment down, they usually put 3-5% down on the home that they forfeit and lose if they don't buy the house. So they typically get a better tenant in the home who takes better care of it because they have a more of a homeowner's mentality, a homeowner's mindset, that they're trying to buy that home. And because we only put people in the houses that have a realistic chance of getting a mortgage in 1 or 2 years, a high percentage of our tenant buyers will actually get financing as long as it's in a good neighborhood, right? So where I'm talking about B and maybe C neighborhoods, lease options, I don't recommend on the D neighborhoods.
Because you're going to get rough tenants. They'll rough up the property. And
But even still, like if that tenant buyer in a C neighborhood, I'm talking like in the Midwest, homes that are in the $50,000 to $75,000 price range, maybe $50,000 to $100,000 price range.
Right.
You know, even if that tenant buyer were to get their credit fixed, and let's say they could get a mortgage in 2 years, are they really going to want to buy that house? Or are they going to want to buy a house in a better school district in a better neighborhood? You know, so I don't like doing lease options in rental areas, like homes in the $50,000 to $100,000 price range. I like doing them in nicer median priced homes, like in St. Louis where I am. That's going to be homes in the $100,000 to $250,000 price range. And that's when you start doing lease options on nicer homes, it just makes everything a whole lot easier. You get better quality tenants. You have houses that don't have as much neglected maintenance and don't need as much repairs, and you know, because it's a newer home, et cetera, and people have more of a pride of home ownership in the neighborhood. So, yeah, there's a lot of advantages to lease options. There's a place for buying cash flow rentals. You know, there's a place for that. But I'm just saying, if you're doing lease options, there's a big need for lease options with a lot of landlords who are getting tired.
I love the idea. I think it's a great niche. Maybe after we're done, I'll research. I'd like to speak with you a little more.
Sure.
Because I think it's actually another tool in the hands of the folks who look for deals. They come across the right type of homeowner, and they don't want to sell, or the price they want is too high. And okay, it's pretty hard to create a spread for a wholesaling type of a deal.
Yes.
But it may be fairly decent situation for a lease option.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you that. What is your best real estate strategy? Sounds like lease option is one of your best real estate strategy, unless you have something else to recommend.
You know, we're starting to flip land, vacant land.
Okay.
Have you had Jack Bosch on your podcast yet?
I have not yet. Yeah, I know Jack is a master of that.
Yes, he's very good. And I'm not sure if he's in the mastermind anymore or not. But anyway, we've been flipping vacant land. I'm a big proponent of systems, right? And so I've had an interest in land flipping for a long time, but I didn't want to do any of it myself. So I had some students that were flipping houses and didn't like it. So I said, hey, do you want to partner with me in the land business? So I went out and I bought 3 different courses. Jack's was one of them. And I gave them to these students of mine. They're friends of mine as well. And they went through the courses. We started meeting every week. And I said, let's do it this way. I said, I will be the investor who puts in the money for the marketing, and I'll pay for my assistant to help us manage it. And I'll build the systems in through Podio for it. And then you take the calls, do the due diligence, put them on the website and flip them. So they said, yeah. And we've done 20, 25 deals so far, flipping vacant land in the middle of nowhere, Colorado and nowhere, Oregon. And it's been pretty cool. I like it. I don't know if I'd say it's better than lease options. It's just different. It has its own challenges. No matter what kind of deals you do, that's going to involve work. I like doing deals where I get somebody else to do the work for me. So,
well, your ultimate delegation, right? You either automate or you delegate. And this is one of those. You find people who do the work for you, and they're your partners, and you just put up a little money and you do what you do best, marketing. So build systems. That's brilliant. We've been doing, you know, in Jacksonville, we've been doing some of the land flips very successfully, but it's in the city and most lots that have ability to build on them. So we've been able to find through marketing some of the...
There's a place for that, right? We're looking to buy land at 20 cents on the dollar. In the middle of nowhere. And you'd be surprised, there's still people that want those lots. People that want a place to go camping, they want a place to ride their four-wheelers, they want a place where they can get off the grid when the zombie apocalypse happens or the government comes to steal their guns. They want a place where they can go and bug out and get away, when North Korea drops a nuclear bomb on us or whatever. They want some land where they can go and grow their vegetables in their pot. So they say there's a pig for every barn, and that's true in land. And it sounds so counterintuitive. Like, why would you want to buy a 5-acre lot literally in the middle of nowhere where there's no...
It's cheap. You have very low downside there.
Very low. And there's very little competition. There's no... It's not in the path of development. It's way out there. Well, because it's way out there, I can buy them for super cheap. And we just make blind offers. We send offers for 20 cents on the dollar, maybe 25 cents on the dollar. And we get one out of every couple hundred offers accepted. Yep. Then we do our due diligence. And then if it looks like it's an interesting deal, we will flip the contract. And sometimes we'll buy it when we sell it.
What's the average transaction? What worries me, the deals are so small. I mean, what do those 5 acres of land cost in the middle of nowhere?
As an example, let's just say I'm going to get my calculator out here. Let's say these 5-acre lots are selling for $15,000, okay? So if I take $15,000 divided by 5, that's $3,000.
An acre. But what can you flip it for?
I'm going to tell you. We're going to offer 20 cents on the dollar. So we're going to offer $600 an acre, okay? So for this 5-acre, we're going to offer $3,000. They're currently selling for 15 grand. I'm hoping I'm getting my numbers right. I should have written this down.
If it's worth 15,000, you're going to offer $3,000.
We're offer them $3,000. Then we're going to turn around and sell it for cash for $10,000. So we'll make a $7,000 spread.
Do you offer them ever on seller financing?
We don't offer seller financing, but sometimes we'll sell it on owner financing. In this example, the vacant lot, 5 acres is worth $15,000. And whether it's worth that or not, I don't know, but that's what they're currently selling for. If you go to Zillow or landwatch.com or landandfarm.com and you look for 5 to 6 acre lots in this county and you sort that list from low to high, you can see the lowest ones are selling for $15,000. So when we advertise our lot on that website, we want to be at 60-70% of what the lowest there is.
So yeah, I get it. You can get $10,000 for it cash. Somebody might just pick it up.
Yes. Now, we can also sell it for $15,000 with owner financing. So we may sell
$3,000 down to get your money back out.
Well, our goal is to get our money back in like 6 months. So we may do $5,000 or $500 down and $250 a month for 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever that interest rate is. But, ideally you get your money back in 3 to 6 months. The cool thing about land when you're doing with owner financing is you don't have to worry about repairs and maintenance and all of that stuff that goes with houses. Right. Vacant land, you know, the vacant land also has its own drawbacks as well. Like the default rates are higher with land than they are with houses, right? Because somebody who is making a decision, where do I make my house payment or my vacant land payment that's just for recreational use, you know, they're going to make their house payment first, right?
Right.
So the cool thing though about with land is you're in it so cheap that it's, you have a lot more exit strategies. And so if your owner financing buyer defaults, you just find somebody else, put somebody else.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. My only comment, and I've looked into these deals, I even know another fund manager who does this. They buy lands. They actually buy the tax certificates for mm-hmm. the raw land, and then they essentially take over because most people don't pay, and they get them so cheaply that literally for the value of the taxes, which are, you know, very, very little. It's another way to get in. Instead of buying 20 cents on a dollar, you try to buy a tax certificate on that land if owners sure. don't pay. And then they do the same thing. You could sell them on owner financing, or you could, you know, sell it to a cash buyer. And the returns are pretty strong. The question on these deals is return on time, because these are small deals. You're working for a small amount of money at best case scenario.
So no, I wouldn't say best case. Worst case, it's a small amount of money. The biggest deal we've ever done, we've made about $12,000 on it. But I know a lot of friends that have made $20,000-$30,000 on vacant land flips. So it can be done. The thing I like about land is, I'm not here to sell land courses or anything like that, but like, if you figure even worst case, you get a 35% default rate. So 35% of your notes are in default. Let's just say worst case. And I've talked to guys that have been doing land for a long, long time, and that's what they were facing during the Great Recession. Okay. Still.
The numbers still make sense economically.
The numbers still make sense. And so, the other big disadvantage to land is you don't get the tax benefits and deductions.
Right. Can't depreciate land.
Can't depreciate land. And so you just got to weigh it and balance it. I think maybe it's a good idea to be diversified. But the reason I like land so much is there's so little competition for them, and there's so much land out there that if you buy it right, it's really hard to fail.
Yeah, Joe, I love it. It's a great, great point, especially land in the middle of boonies. I've definitely heard of this strategy. Other folks have been very successful. It comes down to making a lot of offers or kind of game of numbers. Probabilistically, your numbers work very well, just as long as you can get a good return on your time. That sure. whole strategy works well.
Yeah,
this is great. I appreciate that strategy. Could you talk a little bit about your coaching? How do you coach people if you take on a new student?
Well, one of the things that I like to do right now, there's a great question. If anybody's interested in the info business, coaching or products or whatever, there's a great question that everybody needs to ask themselves. And it's this: if you could only get paid after you deliver the results, or after the client gets the results they want, what would you do?
You are saying that if you don't deliver results, you don't get paid. Is that the statement?
Yeah. What would you do if you only got paid if your client gets a result? Or another way to phrase it is, if you can only get paid after your client gets the results they're looking for, how would you help them? So it's a way to think about, now obviously I'm not saying like as a coach, you should coach people for free and only get paid if they do a deal, because unfortunately the way this business works, most people, when you teach them how to do real estate, will not do anything that you tell them to do. They get shiny object syndrome. They get overwhelmed with buying tons of different courses. It's very few people that will actually buy a course, focus on that, and implement it and start making money.
That's right.
So that's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been. It's discouraging, but it's not going to stop me from selling what I have, because I know what I teach can help people. I know that if I coach somebody and if they do what I say consistently, they're going to make their money back 10 times over. I'm 100% confident in that. So the way I started asking myself this question when I was designing my coaching program, what would I do for my clients if I only got paid if they did a deal? Well, number one, I would teach them my best stuff. I wouldn't hold anything back. I would teach them my best stuff. Number two, I would maybe partner with them on deals. And because that way, like I can tell them, listen, don't worry about steps 7 and 8 yet. Just worry about steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, that's it. Don't worry about steps 1, 2, and 3, because I'll partner with you on the deal. and then help you hold your hand with the rest of the steps involved. So number one, teach them my best stuff. Number two, partner with them on deals. Number three, actually should be number two maybe, is hold them accountable. Like I make all my students come up with a marketing plan. And I say, all right, this is your market you're going after, and this is your scorecard, okay? And part of the marketing plan is a scorecard. This is what you're going to do every day, every week. And you need to report on your numbers. So they need to report on their numbers every day, how much marketing they went out, how many sellers they talked to, how many offers they made. So I'm really pushing my students hard. You need to talk to 5 sellers a day. I mean, can you imagine if any of us, like even experienced investors, if we talked to 5 sellers a day and didn't go to sleep until we talked to 5 sellers every single day, you think we would do deals after a month talking to 130, 150 sellers, right? And then the next month talking to another 130 sellers, and then start following up with those old sellers that we talked to a month or 2 or 3 months ago? Like, you're going to do deals. It's like almost impossible. So I'm big on teaching them my best stuff, partnering with them on deals, holding them accountable to their marketing plan and scorecard, and then doing some of the stuff for them. Like, it's really easy for a lot of people to get overwhelmed with the technology. Like, because I teach how to use virtual assistants and how to use this software and like Podio to help manage the leads that are coming in and stuff. And a lot of times that just overwhelms people. You know, they're just like, Joe, I just want to talk to sellers and make offers. You know, I don't want to have to update Podio and CRM. So one of the things that we do is we'll set up those systems for them and help them and help them schedule their marketing out, help them find their own virtual assistant. And I got a team that does that for me that are really, really good at it. So that's pretty cool. And I do require my fee up front, right? I require the fee up front, but the only reason I do that is I only want to work with people who are willing to put some skin in the game.
Right.
They'll get that money back out of the deal splits that we do. But I don't want to do all this work for them and they don't do anything. And then who's the one left holding the bag? That's me. And so that's not the way we set it up. And I found that that works really, really well. It everybody wins. And if that student does what we tell them to do, and you know, we can't force them to do it, but at least they got somebody pounding them and saying, hey, why didn't you're saying this doesn't work. How many offers have you made in the last week? How many sellers have you talked to in the last week? And if it's less than 20 sellers that they've talked to in the last week, you know, I can reach across the virtual camera and you know, slap them upside the head a little bit, right?
Take a baseball bat and hit them in the head a couple of times. Hey,
I'd love to do that sometimes as long as it wouldn't hurt. But like, you know, it's some people, it bothers me and it irks me to no end. Like, I've given you the golden keys to the kingdom. Like, if you just do this, forget about the what ifs. Like, you're never going to get all your questions answered. No two deals are the same. Forget about like, what if this happens, or yeah, but what about this? But just do what you're told. Just do the marketing. Just talk to sellers. Just make offers. Just follow up. That's all you need to do.
Right.
And then it will start happening. It's a game of momentum. It's a game of numbers. It's like you've got to be consistently doing it. And my best students are the ones who get that. You know, they just get it. They understand it. They're not like superhuman. They don't have a super important college degree. They're not good looking. They're just massive action takers.
Yeah, Joe, I appreciate your very interesting way to look at the coaching. I absolutely appreciate the fact that you help students get set up with the back-end systems, back-end VAs, and that simplifies their life. You just need action takers. Yeah, I mean, it's part of the human nature. The number of action takers per number of wannabes is not high. That's unfortunately, and no matter what you do, you'll be dealing with a statistic. You give them the food and the plate, you're teaching them how to fish, and they don't fish. They just don't. They just you know, afraid to throw the hook in the water.
They're that afraid of failure, and they're afraid of success. Like, what if I catch a fish? What am I going to do now? Well, yeah, that's the whole goal.
They ask the questions they shouldn't be asking. They should just be fishing, trying to fish.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I appreciate that the way you're thinking about the problem is the right. You're basically giving them the right stuff. You're giving them all the support. All they got to do now is do. and makes sense. Is there a good book that you would recommend for my audience? It doesn't have to be business. It can be business. It can be real estate. It could be anything else.
Yeah, I thought I had some with me right now, but my favorite business book probably of all time is The Pumpkin Plan.
The Pumpkin Plan.
Yes. Have you read that?
I have not read that. I'm writing it down. The Pumpkin Plan.
It's by a guy named Mike Michalowicz, I believe. He wrote a book, a couple books called, like one was really good called Profit First. Another one, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. But Pumpkin Plan is all about having a clear vision and focus in your business. It's about growing giant pumpkins. And if you look at giant pumpkin or vegetable farmers, there's this whole industry and niche of people who grow giant vegetables. They buy these seeds, they're really expensive seeds, and they plant them. And then they watch and feed and nurture this pumpkin plant. And the pumpkin plant will grow 5 or 6, 10 different pumpkins, right? But they'll look at the one that seems the most promising, and then they'll cut off the branches for all the other pumpkins and just focus all the nutrients of that plant into that one pumpkin. They focus all their resources on that. And that pumpkin is what grows into a giant pumpkin. So many of us, and I'm guilty of this, are distracted with shiny objects and distracted with, I could do this and I could do that. I have always had my highest success, have made the most money when I've been focused on one thing and one thing alone. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't do other things, but like you shouldn't do other things until that one thing is 100% automated up and running without your involvement. Once that one thing has grown to $1 million or whatever, then you can maybe add on another, maybe start growing giant cucumbers or something. I don't know. But like, it's such a good book. I just love how he simplifies things and breaks it down and encourages you. And this applies to any business. And he gives a lot of examples of what the other businesses that it applies to.
Sure. This is great. I appreciate the book suggestion. I am a strong believer into the one thing. There's a book also called The One Thing. Yeah, and
I like this book better. I didn't think it was as overwhelming. I was a little overwhelmed with The One Thing book.
It's a simple but brilliant concept. The fact that you cut off everything that is unnecessary or doesn't support the main business is a way for you to focus your time and energy and resources on the main success story. Yeah, it's like the good old concept, try many things until you find what works and then stop everything else and just do that and grow that. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. It makes sense. A couple of other very, very quick questions. So what's your best productivity tool that you could recommend to the audience?
I'm torn between Slack and Podio. I use Slack a lot, but my team uses Podio a lot. I don't know. It's a tie.
Recommend two tools. Recommend Slack and Podio.
Slack and Podio. Slack's amazing. Before, we used to have all kinds of things out there on emails and Skype and text and Podio, all different platforms communicating with each other. And it's just hard to keep anything organized. But Slack is really helpful. We have like 20 or 30 different channels. That sounds a little overwhelming, but it's actually not. We have different channels where different conversations will happen. And so if it's conversations about land deals, we have a land channel. If it's a conversation about coaching students, we have another channel for coaching students. And so every different kind of thing that you're focused on or different aspects of your business, you have a channel for that. And your conversations kind of go in there. So that's good just for... Yeah, it's just good for a lot of ways. But then Podio is amazing because I use Podio to manage my land business, our wholesaling houses business, our lease options business, my coaching business, my admin and my staff, our standard operating procedures. Like everything is just managed in Podio. And you can design it to track and manage whatever you want. And if you wanted to, you could use Podio as your as Slack. I mean, it has the ability to function like Slack does. If you could build an app. You remember the old Apple commercials? There's an app for that.
Right.
Well, with Podio, you can build an app for that. You can build apps for anything.
Yeah, very familiar with Portio. We use it in a couple of our businesses, and we love it. It is a good business automation tool, and it's very flexible. You could build pretty much anything on it. So I totally agree. And I've heard of Slack. I don't use Slack, but I heard it's a great tool. Somebody else introduced me to it, and I heard nothing but great feedback on that tool.
Yeah, good, good.
Sounds great. I appreciate the feedback. We are almost out of time. And once again, Joe, I greatly appreciate you coming on the podcast. Could you share a little bit of information, how people would get a hold of you? Is there a website? Is there an email? If they're interested in your coaching, in your lease options program, if they're interested in a land program, how would they get in touch with you?
A couple different ways. JoeMcCall.com. I'm in the middle of updating it, but JoeMcCall.com is my kind of main website. I also have a podcast, Real Estate Investing Mastery. So you just go to iTunes or whatever podcast app you use and do a search for Real Estate Investing Mastery. Real Estate Investing Mastery. That's my podcast. You can just go to realestateinvestingmastery.com. That's my podcast. So JoeMcCall.com is the main site. If you want to reach out to me, you can contact me there. And I'm not on Twitter, so don't send me a tweet. And if you send me a message in Facebook, I'll probably not see it.
That's good. I mean, that's Real Estate Mastery Podcast in JoeMcCall.com. That's good enough.
Well, Real Estate Investing Mastery. I wish I would have gotten
Mastery.
Yes, I wish I would have gotten a shorter name for it, but that's what it is.
Sounds good. It's great. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. Thank you,
Mike.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.